big thank you to Sony and Gamefinity for providing the review code for this title.
I do loud things in public a lot of the time.
That's right, but that's because of your booming podcast voice.
It really is. The other day I was getting out of the car and you and Ed said we should do this and I said, fuck yeah. And I didn't see that there was there was like a little three-year-old getting out the car next to me and the parents just looked at me like I'd slapped him. And I was like, I would have said it if I knew he was there. I'm not that type of person. I just said it because I was excited.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
I am democratically allied with valor and patriotism.
Whoa. That's it.
Aren't you?
It sounds like two strippers, like in America, valor and patriotism. You're just like eating the morning buffet whilst you're like, now you're friends with them. No, why? Why are you allied with patriotism and valor?
I don't need to tell you because you are also allied with patriotism and valor.
I am. True.
Ladies and gents, anyone who gets that joke, who are also part of the Managed Democracy Alliance, must have been playing Helldivers 2 for the past couple of weeks.
In theory, Helldivers 1 as well. I'm guessing it's still the same democracy.
I've not ever played Helldivers 1.
No,
I've not seen Helldivers 1.
That was the thing about this game. Yes, ladies and gents, we are reviewing Helldivers 2.
Yes.
But where did it come from?
What do you mean, where did it come from?
I didn't.
You know where it came from.
I know.
Came from Super Earth.
We were playing Suicide Squad. It was bad. Then we were playing the next game. And then all of a sudden I see on my socials, Helldivers 2 is
all over the
up.
Place. All thinking, over the place.
What's Helldivers 2? How have I've not heard of Helldivers 2. What was Helldivers 1?
For that fact, what's Helldivers 1?
Right? I was like, okay, I get it. I was like, okay, this is interesting. But why is it blowing up? Why is everyone talking about it?
Let's, before we get into why it blew up, let's intro the show. Let's get going before we start running.
Okay.
How would you tell us what are we reviewing? Where did it come from?
We are reviewing Helldivers 2. It was
Helldivers 2.
It was developed by a company called Arrowhead in Switzerland. It's a Swedish company. Okay. No, Sweden. Sorry. And I love these little stories. They actually did the game. Did you ever note the game Magicka?
Magicka, that sounds familiar. Does it have a K in it?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's those little, like, caped wizards. You kind of have a team of four. One's like fire,
okay.
One's lightning and stuff like that.
And, I do remember
right? Something
like this. And the gameplay was very unique.
Yes,
right?
It was.
It was pure magic.
It really was. And somehow you like combined your spells with like water and electricity and that would combine into something else. It was a clever little idea, right?
Did they do that as well?
Yeah, they did that game.
Oh, this is making sense.
They did a game called Showdown Effect, which I don't know. And a game called Gauntlet, which I don't know either. And it's a little company with 100 employees, and then in 2015 they made Helldivers 1, which got favorable reviews and stuff, but I still don't think I can remember ever seeing it.
No, me neither, because it was on the PS Vita.
Oh, really?
Which,
was it really?
I don't even know if the PS Vita exists. Was that a thing? Was that a dream?
Did I
make the PS Vita up?
No, the PS Vita did exist, but you're right. It just disappeared into mediocrity somewhere. I don't know why. I still like my Visa. And it was the game studio was just fundamentally a group of students from, I'm going to butcher the name of it, Luleå in Sweden.
They
just came out of the University of Technology and decided to make a little game studio. And then
that's probably one of the most student things to say.
Yes, exactly.
Other than
let's
start a football team.
Yeah, no,
let's buy a bar. Let's make a game.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, that's really a cool image, right? Just a bunch of friends saying, "Let's make a game." Like, I feel like they watch Starship Troopers
Oh, thought, yes.
Let's make a game about Starship Troopers and call it
Hell yeah,
Helldivers.
Let's get it published by Sony.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they aimed big. Let's just take this to Sony. They're going to love it. Fundamentally, they probably did do that. Well, they certainly withheld.
Yes. Oh, let's do that. It would take snort a line of coke.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe they do need the fuel from somewhere. And I do love the idea that the popularity of this game and the first thing they're doing is actually expanding their game studio so that they can do some bunch of post game content. At least that's what it's written down. So they've got big plans for what's next in Helldivers.
That's how you do it. I hope it's sustainable at least.
Yeah, that's the thing with. It's one of the things that's always worrying about games like this. Like, we all love it at the beginning, but they have to keep adding the same level of content.
Exactly.
And love back
otherwise,
to us. Yeah.
Otherwise, you get what most game studios are experiencing right now after the lockdown gaming hiring boom. Mm-hmm, it wasn't sustainable because people are going outside again. Now, a lot of game makers are getting laid off.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And there's just burnout now in games.
A lot of burnout.
And there's so many you know, we're very much jumping from one flower to another in gaming. So they've got to keep it interesting. And I think
they've got an excellent starting point.
They do.
They've hit the ground running and somehow they are still running.
Yes, agreed. They've been making smart... Fundamentally, when this game came out, they didn't have enough server space. Just kind of like Palworld had the same problem. They had like 500,000, allowed for 500,000 concurrent. And then they had to max that up to 800,000 within like a fortnight or something, which costs a ton of money, I might add. So they do look like they really want to keep this going, this momentum, this forward motion in this game. And I hope they do because it's a lot of fun.
It's so much fun. Helldivers 2. I don't. If anyone listening to this has been playing Helldivers 2, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, really.
Anyone listening to this who's not played Helldivers 2, what's going on?
Yeah, play Helldivers 2. What's wrong?
Are you on Xbox or something?
Oh, no one's on Xbox, right?
Speaking of, the community has fallen so... The entire gaming community has fallen so in love with Helldivers 2 that it is abolishing those dumb console war borders.
Very true, very true.
PlayStation... fans are asking that this game be published on Xbox as well.
Agreed. And it is. It's one of those games where we need more people, right? You want more people to join in the diplomacy or decomacy. This is one of the games you want to play with all your friends. This is one of the games, like I was saying to Nick earlier, I'd love there to be 100 Helldivers versus 100,000 bugs on one planet, and it's just this epic mission of insane proportion or something like that, right? That would be that'd be amazing.
That would be incredible. Just knowing that you are just part of something bigger, and to make that something even bigger, this game really captured something special.
Agreed.
I really hope it's not lightning in a bottle. Yeah. But you told me that Arrowhead Studios did Magicka. Which is also a very innovative game.
It was a very clever little game. Very well thought out.
They brought some of that innovation to Helldivers 2 with some game mechanics and some very clever game design.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that Arrowhead... this isn't lightning in a bottle and Arrowhead can do this again. Because if they can, they're a valuable, valuable studio.
No, agreed. Hopefully they'll keep their indie side of things, if you know what I mean, and don't go big corporate. But we'll see. We've all been hurt in the past as gamers by other companies that didn't quite keep to the mission statement.
No. Studios doing good and then they become corporate.
Yeah, exactly.
Naughty Dog, Rockstar, Blizzard, those places.
Yeah. Should we jump into narrative then? Because this is
where
you and I scored a big gap in narrative.
There's a big difference between your score and my score.
I rated this
to anyone thinking I scored this low, you're wrong.
Yeah, but okay. The narratively, like the first thing I just wrote down here is for democracy. Because that's basically the narrative. You know, that is fundamentally patriotism and democracy done. Full stop. That's the narrative you have.
Yes. For democracy, it's bleeding over.
It's bleeding over
onto our lives. Well, my first note is this game is hilarious.
Yes, that's true.
This game is so funny.
So tongue-in-cheek. I am in love. Yeah, all the time. Yeah, no doubt.
The entire time, really, even during gameplay. So where else would you put hilarity of a game? That's not visuals. That's not audio gameplay. No, that's narrative.
Yeah, I agree. There's in-game voice commands and story that come in. I would just say it's not telling you much.
No.
But anyway, before we go into that, this game is a sequel to Helldivers 1. So the original premise of Helldivers is that Earth was under attack, and then we beat the Terminids, and then that's why we have Super Earth, and we found that Terminid bodies decompose and are good for fuel or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. So in Helldivers 2, we started farming Terminids on other planets so that we could get the precious resources, and then the Terminids break out and start breeding and spreading across the galaxy. That's the fundamental narrative of the entire game.
Okay.
Oh, and there are robots.
Where did the robots come from?
They're robots, again, I'm guessing they're doing this intentionally as tidbits. They don't really tell you. They're just a new aggressor across the planet. They don't know where they're from or why they're killing us. Basically, to me, it's Skynet. They all look like the Terminator.
That makes complete sense.
They're all just trying to come. I feel like somebody watched Starship Troopers and then somebody watched Terminator. And they said, there you go, Skynet, next level of the game, right? Next bad guys.
There you go, go shoot them. Bye.
But that's fundamentally the narrative backbone that there is for the entire game. So that's it. That's fundamentally the story. But you're right that there are little bits here and there that kind of build upon the narrative, right? It the mission types and the communications between soldiers. Hell, even the tutorial mission to help you get used to controls builds a lot of shadowing. Where you
there is a
trained.
Lot of setup.
Yeah, exactly. There is.
Just
there is
the tutorial.
But why did you give it an 8? That's what this is against me. It's like, Go on.
If this game had a better story or a much more involved story, then yes, I would have scored it even higher. But no, this game has a pretty absent story. What it does have is just a good setup. Narrative setup. There are some good world building. The entire game design is built around this idea, this narrative idea, right? That you're Super Earth, that you're going around the galaxy on your ship fighting Terminates, fighting Skynet.
Yeah, fundamentally, automatons.
That's an excellent setup for a game like this. I'm struggling to find another game that has such an excellent setup that has such a direct impact on game design.
No, agreed. It's one of those fine lines between too much and too little, right? Where, you know, in your imagination. Yeah, like I said, you play this game, and I'm sure a lot of people out there play the game too, and you instantly think of Starship Troopers and I want to be on, you know, it's that energy. There's a quote in Starship Troopers says,
I'm doing my part.
Yeah, what are you standing around? I can't see this.
Is that not the quote?
I'm doing my part, quite. Was part of the adverts that you used to go to Starship Troopers.
Yes.
But somebody's recon used to say, well, you can stand over there. You afraid of dying today or something like that? There was a big quote about, don't stand around. It's time to go. Put your life on the line. And it's that whole vibe is here. Your life is kind of expendable. We must destroy
kind
the
of.
Eggs.
It's 100% expendable.
That's the one thing I don't think, unless I missed it, narratively. Are we clones? Are we, like, why can we die and then come back again? I know it's a game
and
it's a video game.
I think
game
you're thinking about this. I think we are clones.
We'd
but I think
be,
you're
right?
You're taking this too seriously.
Yes,
you're thinking about it too much.
See, that's because I'm a narrative. I like my narratives in games, but you could be entirely
probably,
right. Yeah, I probably am.
Probably. And I think the reason why it's so simple and, okay, admittedly shallow, that's why I like it so much, maybe.
But I do, the one thing that I said, I'll give you that I'm probably being a bit mean, is that the story isn't finished. Like, it's we've got the prologue fundamentally,
it's not finished,
haven't we? We're playing out, and it's probably going to build. Be new. I'm sure they're going to slowly trickle out new narrative bits as we go. Where the Skynet or the automatons come from, or is there a queen terminid somewhere breeding all the eggs that we have to track down? At least I hope. So in theory, the narrative isn't actually all there yet. So it's a bit hard to review it.
I don't think the narrative is going to conclude any stories. I do 100% believe the narrative is going to introduce new stories, like new factions, maybe.
There are lots of ways,
there are lots of factions this game can introduce. Because anyone who's seen the map of this game can see there are tons and tons of sectors that are just blank, unused.
Yes, yes, very true, very true. No,
there are planets in those sectors that are not being warred on, meaning they could very easily, in the next season, introduce a new faction. What are some factions they can introduce? Well, let me tell you. They can introduce zombies.
Yeah, that's a given. Everybody likes Call of Duty. Everybody adds zombies to their games.
Plant monsters.
Nice. Yeah, go on.
Plant monsters.
You've actually thought about this. Is this on your notes somewhere? You just wrote down.
No, it isn't. Monsters. I've just got a baby Groot on my computer.
Ah, okay, that's cool. That's cool. That works. That works.
I don't know. There are tons. I don't know. Furry animals.
I would love a crossover. Like, I know it will never happen, but like going to a planet and it's the Flood or whatever from Halo, or you go to another planet and it's what are they called in Gears of War? The bad guys in Gears of War. I've lost what they're called. And I would love that, but I know it would never happen because money and stuff like that. But I agree, there's a good note about that map. There was tons of space not being used on that map. So I agree that looks like that's going to be used in the future.
There could be some slimy water race, like slimy snake people.
Yeah, they need you on their team, by the way.
Yes!
Okay, these are the slimy snake people, and they're slimy, and they go...
Yes!
And that's the only... Yeah, I'm down. There's some rock people, some fire people.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is there are tons of factions they can introduce, meaning the possibilities are endless.
Endless, no,
and
I agree.
And once again, I've never seen a game that uses a setup quite as good as this to directly influence game design.
Agreed.
And that's why I'm scoring this narrative so high.
Agreed that they've got everything in place to make it. It's simple but complex. It's got enough in there to add a branch here, and it just fits in because everything else is so neatly tucked together.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
I don't... Not even live service royalty. Fortnite has as good a setup as this.
True, it's true. I agree.
Maybe Apex Legends has. I don't know.
Yeah,
Sorry. It's so smart for a live service game, the setup. That's why I'm scoring the narrative so high. And then a couple of smaller things. Like, I really like the way that you're being played up to be some sort of hero.
Yeah,
right throughout the entire tutorial.
Yeah.
Big super general man who's been in 1,000 battles are calling you the best soldier that has ever lived.
But it's just
a recording.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. That's just satire, right? That's just like,
whoa,
soldier, good work. You're going to be so memorable and to be a hero one day. I do like that weird propaganda like stuff that they play out throughout the game.
I like that as well.
Yeah.
You're played up to be a hero, but you're so incredibly expendable.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, that's exactly it.
This punchline is never acknowledged, and it makes it even funnier.
No, very true. Now, like I said, it's exciting to see what's coming.
It is. This is a live service game done right.
Yes,
and the first one to do so in a very long time.
It's a very weird thing. I was thinking about this last night. I don't know where it would go in our actual... Do you think that this popularity as a live service game is somewhat to do with Suicide Squad's being so bad?
Yes.
Right? It's got to have a knock-on effect, right?
It does have a knock-on effect. It's unfortunate.
A roast dinner, right? We were going, whoa, this... You know, it makes you wonder if Helldivers 2 released at any other time in the year, if it would have gained this much popularity.
I think it would have gone quite some of it, let's say 70% of it, but not as much as it did right now. Let's say you're going out for dinner and you get there and you see, oh shit, the place exploded. Yeah. Now we can't have dinner. And all sad, you take your wallet and you drive home. Yeah. But wait, on your way back home, you see a different, equally cool place to have dinner at. And so you have dinner there.
Okay,
that's, I think, part of Helldivers 2's success. It's just eating the remains of Suicide Squad's player base.
Well, that analogy was brilliant, by the way.
Thank you. Thank
but
you.
I agreed. I was just thinking, I agreed. I'm super happy this game has got success. It
same.
Is a lot of fun.
Jeez, same.
I'm sure it was just a stroke of luck because I can almost see the developers of this game when they said, oh, well, we're releasing so close to Suicide Squad. And that's maybe Warner shouldn't. Brothers and stuff like that. They probably were like, whoa, what if we're going to be outshadowed? You know, they're just going to... And it was the other way around. I love the idea that they're that's just good. There like, yeah.
It's so great. Right? Yes. It's almost a David and Goliath story.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. Like I said, it's a really cool situation. Anything else narrative? Sorry, go on.
Just, I think this game has a good grasp on its scale.
Yeah.
Right, scale is very important in games to make you feel immersed and also have an impact on the world. Because it can go both ways. You can make this massive world. Just huge, but at risk of making the player feel insignificant.
Yes, that's true. That's true. No,
and you can also make the player an absolute powerhouse in this world, but at the risk of making it feel like their actions have no consequences.
True. Yeah, that's very true. Yes.
And I think this game walks that tightrope expertly.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You do.
We've become so desensitized to scale in some games that we don't entirely recognize when it's done right.
No, I agree.
In this one, you can planet hop to 25 different planets. You can have an impact, a visible impact on each one.
We literally, ladies and gents, sorry, just brings it up. We when you take over or you help fight the bad guys in this, there's a little percentage gauge that shows how much liberation you've done.
And I think you do 0.002%.
Yeah, I think that's also depending on how big your party is. I think it's 0.4 if it's a party of four or something.
Either way,
we would do that. We completed our missions, and then when you get all your rewards and you come back and you see the progression bar, and we were the 0.002 that made the progression bar go from 99% to 100%. You know,
that was...
We were one of the last people to liberate the entire planet. And
I think the planet was
mean.
Called Heath.
Yeah,
Heath.
That's what you mean, right? To scale, what we did saved a planet. And it's a very rare thing. Like, that level of just little bar progression that makes you feel like, yes. I can, like I said, sadly, we didn't record it because I think that's possibly quite a rare thing to see.
Yeah.
But you're right, that scale, you and I, when we did what we did, we helped do it, and now that planet is saved. Well, for
exactly.
Now. That's a cool feeling.
Yeah, we had a real impact, and we're just schmucks who bought the game.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyone can have that impact.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. They know what they're doing.
So they could quite easily just make this something that everyone gets to feel.
Yes, that's
I highly
true. They
doubt
could.
That.
Yes,
though.
True. Yeah, agreed. That could be quite easy to do. Yeah.
I doubt that. I think we had an impact.
Agreed.
I think
I'm not going to think that way. We saved a planet.
Yes, we did,
ladies and gents. You can thank us. Later. Anything else?
I also like... No, I'm going to use this to segue into visuals.
Go on.
I like how each planet looks distinct.
Yes, very much so.
Right? Each planet looks distinct.
Yeah, we basically have, an ice... We've got Hoth. Sorry, I'm going to go Star Wars now. Planet Hoth. We have Tatooine. We have Earth.
What's the jungle planet with the Ewoks?
Nice, Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk.
Nice book. You've got all the almost what I guess would be defined as cliche terrains now. Ice, fire, wood, water, and woods or forest like. But
yes,
they are well designed. right?
Yes.
They are clever little bits here and there that they didn't need to add in. because you could have just done it bare bones, like a planetscape, a few hills, a bit of shininess, nice. But even just things like Fog of War. The Fog of War in-game, if you go onto a planet where it's dusky or deserty, sometimes you'll have a wind or a high wind, and then the sand will be kicked up, and you cannot see more than, like, 5 foot in front of you.
Very true.
Which just adds to the tension.
You cannot see shit.
Yeah, the tension that there's something could be that close to you. Yeah.
Yes, or a sandstorm. The scariest part, this is audio as well, is when you're in the sandstorm or blizzard and you can hear around you the enemies.
Yes.
You can hear them left. You can hear them right. You can hear them getting aggroed, but you can't see anything.
Yeah, no, it is stressful. It is stressful. But that's the point. It's one of those things, ladies and gents. We've got lots of games that are super detailed and super pretty. And I've seen Final Fantasy VII recently, and the character models are so nice. But there are ways to deal with visuals that don't have to be super pretty, which still add this massive layer of immersion that have to be put in, but in a very clever way. And this is what this game does a lot. Hell, even ice, you skid. Like, if you're running away from a Terminid, you're slippy underfoot, and you'll stop and slide. Or even if you dive, you'll slide even further away from them.
Yes.
It's clever little things like that that add to your panic when you're being swarmed and you have to reload or you need to use your stim to heal. It just adds that extra layer of, like, whoa. Jeez, I didn't think that was going
to
happen.
Definitely. Just to add to the back of that, this game looks awesome. Mm. But as you mentioned, the graphical fidelity might not be as high as Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or Final Fantasy XVI.
Mm.
But when the battle gets going and everything goes haywire on the screen, it feels like an actual battle.
Yeah, agreed.
And no, that's when the game looks its best.
Yeah, and there's that little thing you spotted last night, which is, again, it's a very little thing, but when you destroy a big bug, their carcass becomes an asset to the game.
Like,
bugs have to run around it.
It's such a tiny thing.
Yeah, but it really is.
There are big bugs. We call them Big Berthas.
Yeah,
dies, its carcass stays on the battlefield. And you'd think in-game, set dressing now.
Yeah, exactly. You can still you just
walk through it. It's of no matter.
It. Yeah, exactly.
No,
exactly. Yeah.
That is now cover. And I saw this when another bug flew and landed on top of Big Bertha, and now it had higher ground and could spit at me from behind cover. What? That's incorporating the visuals into gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Which a lot of games do, but this one, that was unexpected. So that was unexpected.
In theory, it never happened to us. If you bottlenecked the bugs and you killed lots of them, in theory, you'd get that wall, which then they'd have to scramble over the top of, which was in our Starship Troopers and stuff like that. You know, it almost looks like they put these things in because they've got an idea what they're going to do later. Like,
yes.
Because it's we've seen lots of movies and games, the cliche where you just keep shooting and the bodies pile up and then they start climbing over the bodies.
Yeah.
They've made that thing possible by you making the dead bodies actually a thing. By actually making them, you have to run around them or you have to climb over the top of them. Like I said, it's cool little stuff like that. That is very clever.
We never fought the big, big, big bug, the one as big as a two-story building.
The Titan. I think that's the called Titan. The Titan.
We never fought that bug. I'd like to, though, but we were only a two-man squad. We would be annihilated.
Well, so far, until we get, you know, godlike skills. We're slowly getting there.
I can only imagine that would have the same effect.
Agreed. It has to, right? No,
on a battlefield.
Agreed.
Earlier I mentioned that this game makes you feel like a superhero, right? Yeah, when you're actually just expendable. You're really the opposite. The capes in this game is a manifestation of exactly that. And it's so smart. It's so smart.
Makes you feel like a superhero, right?
Exactly. When you think of a cape, you think, oh, you Superman,
instantly,
Batman.
Yeah, of course,
You instantly. Think of superheroes. So that's why they're giving you a cape in the narrative of this game to make you feel superior.
I know,
You're not. As the Incredibles taught us, capes are a liability.
Yeah, I know, that's what comes through my head as well. That scene about capes, right? And the little
when
lady.
Edna Mode that's right, tells
that's
you,
right, that's right.
No capes!
But this, you know, there is a feeling of wearing a cape that gives you, like, you want to do the superhero pose. You just
you
want to stand
superior.
There and
you do feel
chin.
Superior.
Yeah, no, it's a weird little addition, but it does help.
But that's what I'm saying. That's how the visuals are feeding into the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a large piece of fabric. It's essentially a curtain for your shoulders. But no, you feel superior.
But there's also that's the same thing you get on the bridge of your ship as well. When you, there's a part of Legend Shots on you with the bridge of your ship where you load up and go to your armory and stuff. But you can go to the front of your ship and just look out the window.
Oh.
And you actually see the other
it's
ships
beautiful.
hell diving down
yes.
to the planet or
yes.
barrage over
calling
there.
Down airstrikes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can see
it's
the airstrike.
So, when you're on a planet that's mostly been liberated, there won't be a lot of ships.
Correct.
But when you're at a planet that's let's say where the majority of players are, hundreds and thousands of players. If you're at that exact point on the exact same planet, you can see hundreds of ships around you and they're all warring down on the planet below, right?
Yeah.
Barrages, hell divers. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a fun little bit to add on there, but it does make you feel like you're part of the cog in a very large machine. Right, you're going.
Yes, but not in a bad way.
No. You're warring with others, and you need to get down there before your fellow hell divers get slaughtered and stuff like that. And it's just like you said, your favorite part. It's just very pretty. The loading screen when you get shot. Like when you go down.
Ladies and gents,
right?
My favorite part, the part that I regard as the best in the entire game, is when you have selected your mission. The music starts. You choose your loadout, and you. And you just fart out from the bottom of your ship and you hell dive. That's why this game is called Hell Divers,
yes.
Because you are hell you're diving into hell, into the battle. It's so you're slowly entering the atmosphere, but your pod is growing red hot. The iron steel is growing molten red and the music is swelling and you can see your squad mates hell diving beside you. It's such, I wrote this down somewhere, I can't find it right now. It's such a feeling of anticipation and camaraderie, and it's unmatched. It's
agreed,
unmatched.
Agreed.
That is the best part of the entire game.
It is. It has that level of a grand scale. It does
yes.
have, and that you're granted
yes.
that just everything ties in so well at that little moment when you're just, and ladies and gentlemen, just the loading screen. It's the loading screen from your the bridge.
That's
your
it.
Ship
that's all
planet.
It is. But
that's
it's so
it
much more.
But it is so pretty. I also weirdly, as a little side note, it's hilarious when you go to the shop. Of course, ladies and gents, because this is a game as a service. There's of course lots of shops and cosmetics and stuff you buy. And they've added reviews of helmets and shoes
so
and capes
good.
And stuff.
So good.
And they're just so tucked. Like, one of my favorites was, I bought the SSR helmet and it came with some hero sweat inside. Oh, I couldn't be more happy. Just things like that are just throughout the review service. They're so satirical or tongue-in-cheek.
Hilarious.
Cheek or just stupid. It's great. It's a little addition that just makes you smile.
My favorite part. Oh, by the way, that's a narrative edition.
That's true. That's true to some degree. Yeah.
My favorite part, my favorite review is the only one that hasn't been 5 stars. Said this review has been removed due to suspicion of treason.
Yeah, that's right. You're not
and the only reason for that is it's not a 5-star review.
Yes. It's true. Like I say, you can't be, that's treasonous. You've got to stick with democracy. We're liberating.
Well, of course. You don't have any valet if you
no, exactly.
don't
oh, and my
put it a 5-star.
My other favorite one was this was recommended. 4 out of 5 dentists recommend this product just to make fun at the Colgate or the Sensodyne adverts out there. No,
yes.
It's funny. It's
yeah,
funny
that's
stuff.
What I'm talking about. This game is hilarious.
It is.
This game is so funny.
Okay,
another,
else?
The last, yes, the last point I've got for visuals is during gameplay. The shooting is great. The enemies are great. The planets, the battles, everything, that's good stuff. The best visual element, or one of the best visual elements of this game, is when you start using your stratagems.
Yeah. Very true.
I'll elaborate on stratagems, or will elaborate on stratagems in the gameplay segment. But just calling down, using stratagems to call down things from your ship, right? Your, what's it called? Dreadnought?
Yeah.
No.
Which ship works. I don't remember what it's called. Yeah.
When you call things down from your ship, that's one of the most badass regular things I've ever done in a video game. Ever. All you're doing is you're calling down a stratagem. It is something you do 5, 6, 7 times per mission.
Yeah, easy, 5, 7
but
times.
But it's such a badass thing to do, actually.
Yeah, and it's right. Visceral, right?
It is seeing these absolute massive explosions, calling down airstrikes, calling down supply drops, even mining rigs, and being in control of all of that. Seeing this massive explosion is because of something I did, because I threw down a stratagem. That's beautiful to look at.
Yeah, there's even that, the lane judge just reminded me now, there's even one mission where you have to set up a nuke, I suppose, out of the ground. You got to put in the coordinates, you got to release the locks on the nuke, and it slowly brings out the sky, and then you send it the coordinates, and it flies away. Mission complete. And then you grab your gear, and you start going to the next location. And then within about 5 seconds, there's this huge bright light, and and you can see in the distance this massive mushroom cloud. And you think, whoa, didn't
half
expect that.
Half of the entire skybox is lit up from this explosion. Nuke, it really is the right word. And after this nuke detonates, the sound is deafening.
The air just
pushes away around you, almost pushing you down.
That's right, that gush of air that hits everything. Yeah, no.
Wow.
That's a cool bit. We didn't expect it. No, it's one of those bits where you think it's just going to go up in the sky, and you think, job done, right? And it even gives you the mission complete, so it doesn't even tell you to make sure confirmed kill or check on target, and then all of a sudden you just get this bright screen and noise and wind. No, very cool. Very good bit.
Very cool.
Anything else?
No, we can move on to audio.
Okay, audio man.
I would say there's a lot to praise about this game's audio, right? The voice acting, the sound design, the music. Well, I like all of it. To be honest, all of it is good, and I like all of it. During gameplay, your character will sometimes drop a voice line.
Yes, it will.
Right? You broke your arm, and your character would drop a voice line. and in line with the rest of this game, it's so overdone and dramatic.
It is.
You can't help but laugh.
It's all
the voice actors must have had a ball.
Agreed. It's the voice actors, even things that of course the narrative of this game is spreading patriotism and being valor and democracy and there even the lines will be like, have a taste of democracy.
Have a sip of some liberty.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's the cheesy lines. They're hilarious, but they match the tone of the game perfectly.
It's excellent. It really is. This is a good narrative. The story might be absent, but wow. The setup, the world building, just tones and lore and themes. It's all there.
And as you mentioned, the voice artist, this game itself.
Yeah, the voice actor.
It comes with four voice packs. A lot of games, when you do a customer creation, you often get voice packs, being male or female. This comes with four. But it comes with four quite unique voice packs.
I only recognized one of them. Did you check who the...
I did check.
Yeah, give it to us, Dave.
Now you can give us the one you know, because I know you.
I knew one. I recognized it instantly.
Yeah, go on.
Right, there are two female voices, two male voices. Yeah. I recognized one of the male voices to be Yuri Lowenthal.
Yes, it was.
Who a lot of people might recognize as the voice of Peter Parker in the Spider-Man games.
That's very true.
I was so surprised when I was running around dishing out some democracy, and all of a sudden, Peter Parker started shouting. Where did he come from?
Well, for me and my wife, it's Sasuke from Naruto. Same voice actor. And it's very weird to hear like a grown-up Sasuke on the fields of Fenrir 2, and he's with you spreading diplomacy, but it's little Sasuke. No, it's cool. Yeah,
yes.
It is Yuri Lowenthal. He does Sasuke from Naruto. He does the Prince from the Prince of Persia games.
A lot.
And he does Ichiro Takaba from Persona 3 Reload. Just so you know. Cool, right?
Very cool. I have not gotten to that point yet.
Okay, sorry. And then, of course, the male voice, too, is a gentle named Robbie Daymond. I'm sorry to tell you this, Nicole. He voiced Goro Akechi in Persona 5, which I know you did not like that. You did not like him, did you?
Let's move on.
And he voices Megumi in Jujutsu Kaisen, the anime. So, yeah, he's pretty nice. Well-known. And then we've got the female voice actors. Voice pack one is voiced by Erica Lindbeck.
Okay.
Which does the voice of Jesse Raspberry from Final Fantasy Rebirth. Catalina from Grand Blue Fantasy, which was a new one, just came out the other day. I can't remember what it was called, right? Also does Shion from the Tales of Arise game.
There's quite a lot.
No, that's the lead role, pretty much the lead role in the Tales of Arise game. And then the second voice pack was a Julia Nathanson, who did... she's not as famous, a lot of kind of minor roles, but she did voices for Call of Duty Black Ops, Cold War, and Bayonetta 3. She's probably the new up-and-comer in the voice role side. But no, they're very good at it. And like you said, I can picture them having all these serious scripts they normally get, and then they get the script for this game, and it's just insane sentences you've just got to shout out. Like, some of it's, call it a barrage.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a grenade. You know, they're fun, but some of them are just silly.
They must have had these lines. They must have had a ton of fun. It sounds, just listening to these voice lines, it's balmy, but good.
Agreed.
I enjoyed it a lot.
And of course, they did that great thing, and I'm always a fan of, I know you're a fan of, where the sound and the soundtrack is all done by an orchestra. Instead of just digitally making it,
I want to get to the music.
Go on.
The music in this game, they're all done by an orchestra. Orchestra, not a wind orchestra, a symphonic orchestra. Mm. It's so good when that happens. It makes sense in a game like Spider-Man 2 when one of the protagonists is an aspiring music producer, right?
Yes.
Then it makes sense to have synthesized sounds.
Of course. Beats. And you're running on a budget and all the other things.
But for a game like this, I can't stress enough how using a symphonic orchestra was the right call.
Oh, great.
Like, just to have that epic atmosphere when you're doing things, when you're waiting for the dropship to come at LZ, when you're hell diving onto a planet with your squad mates, right? It's unparalleled.
It's like, ladies,
truly,
the perfect one that always reminds me is, of course, sadly, I'm gonna have to make you happy now, it's Lord of the Rings uses the full orchestra, right? And could you imagine you cannot watch those movies and not remember the music. And that's what a good orchestra does in a dramatic moment of death victory and stuff.
When you hear that theme for the Riders of Rohan.
Yes, exactly, right?
That's the scene that
comes in my head. That's right. And this game does the same type of feeling.
It does. Right? The booming trombones when you move through the mines of Isengard. Incredible the power a symphonic orchestra has on the atmosphere of a franchise. Not just a movie, but a game as well. And this is precedent to that.
Yeah, orchestras, a full orchestra seems to add emotion. I don't know how they do it, but when you've got a full orchestra adding the background music or the theme music to something, it adds the emotion of the orchestra to the gameplay.
It does. It
scared,
really does.
Be it sad, be it tense, be it on edge. And there's something about it, and they do it very well in this. It's just when you're LZ and your ship comes down to pick you up, but you got 10 seconds to get to it, and you hear the orchestral music getting like faster and tempos increasing, and you're running out of time and you're almost dead. There's just something that blends all together there that just makes you happy. It's just such a good feeling.
There's very little that can match that type of hype and anticipation. Agreed. I'm really a big fan. The other bit that I'd also like to applaud would be the sound design.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the voice actors, the music. The sound design is also very good, not just for you as a soldier and your guns, which are very nice, but I want to raise this. Each enemy faction has their own set of sounds.
Yeah,
which, of course, they do. But I don't know exactly how to explain this. The sound design for each enemy faction is done so extremely well. The bugs, for instance, they've got their clicking and their chirping. Mm-hmm. They sound like what you would think a giant bug sound like.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know they do.
While the bots have their mechanical beep boops.
Yeah.
But so you could hear them on the battlefield, right? You could hear on the other side of this hill would be some click clacking or beep booping. Mm-hmm. Then you know there are enemies at the other side of this hill. And in an open battlefield, sound design is incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. My favorite part would have to be when you kill the bugs or bots.
Okay. Just the squishy sounding.
Sorry for the pause. Yes, the splatter when you shoot when you kill a bug, or the mechanical breakdown and tiny explosion when you kill one of the bots.
No, agreed. The bots shooting has a metallic sound when it hits you or not. Their lasers go ding, ding, and they shoot each other, which is accidentally, but that you also hear that as well. Now and you can hear the weight of the robots. That's what I noticed last time we played. You can hear that around that corner isn't one of the small ones. It's doing that RoboCop.
Yes, it's
got weight to it.
It's insane to me that they've managed to create that amount of character to an entire unique faction that you can play against in a game, and not only once but twice. There are two of these factions. Are you listening, Suicide Squad?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Suicide.
There purple are two, blocks. And they aren't just generic purple aliens with generic purple guns. Mm. No. I'm a very big fan of what this game is doing.
Yes, listen, Warner Bros. They only had 100 people make this game. But anyway, I'm not gonna.
How was the budget for a game with 10 times the budget worse?
Yeah, I know.
Much worse.
But that's what's
significantly
happening.
Worse.
Agreed.
Than a game like this.
Gameplay wise, what did you think?
Oh, we're just moving on to gameplay.
Sorry, have you got more audio? Sorry.
I don't. I'm just so. I really like the audio. But let's move on to gameplay. You're right.
What do you think?
The gameplay for this game, this section, the gameplay for is why this game has such immense staying power.
Yeah.
If Arrowhead can continue to support this game like it sounds like they want to do, this game is going to be around for a while.
Oh no, agreed entirely.
This could be one of the PvE games that just stays, which I'm a big fan of.
It's one of those games. I know we've got Fortnite, we got Overwatch, and we got the finals or whatever. We got lots of, but this game is truly up there with the co-op. Fundamentally, this game is a co-op game. It's you play it on your own.
Yes,
it is 100%. Very hard. It is doable, but a lot of the puzzles that you have to do, or the lot of little side missions you got to do, require two people. Hell, there's even vaults on the game which require two button pushes at the same time, and so if you play on your own you can't even open certain things, but there is very few games that have this level of fun as well as feeling dramatic and feeling like you're making a difference and all this. It's hard to translate into words, as I'm sure everybody, that feeling where you throw a grenade whilst your friend gets out of there, or he comes and stims you so that you can lay down your stratagem. It's just the gameplay is kind of neat and tidy, but it just works so well.
Truly, it does. I noted this game is one principle above all else. It needs to be fun.
Yes, of course.
And it is. You mentioned earlier, it's hard to put into words what this game makes you feel. That's art. That's true. The biggest definition of art, or the most agreed upon definition of art, is something created by another human that evokes emotions. Right? This game is evoking emotions. The only difference between this and art is this is interactive.
True. Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
And it's fun. This is evoking certain emotions, be it camaraderie, joy, just the feeling of how do I say making a difference, having an impact.
Yeah. No, exactly that.
There is an argument that this is one of the highest forms of video game art.
No, I agree. Like you said, that feeling you get when playing with your friends, or that feeling you when completing a mission with you, that is an art that makes you feel stuff, which, like you said, is a sign of art or artistic capabilities. There's so many things now. We obviously like this game, ladies and gents. You can hear what we're saying, but there's a few subtleties, and I always find it sounds easy, but very few games do it right. And it's the rewarding the progression system.
Yes.
We know that in Suicide Squad, it was trash, to be honest with you.
You'd have to put hours upon hours to
get one.
I'm sorry, ladies and gents. We don't mean to keep shitting on Suicide Squad, but it's difficult. These two came out at the same time and they're polar opposites.
They really are. No, exactly right. It's near impossible not to compare them.
Yes.
But there's the reward system in there. Like, a lot of games you play, there's a grind, there's a reward system in regards to quests or missions or whatsoever. But there is that fine balance where you've got to make it, it's going to take me 8 hours to get 50 medals, or, wow, I got these too quickly. It's that little bit in the middle that makes you go, oh, if I just do one more match, I might be able to get enough medals to do A. Or if I can do one more game, I might get enough samples to do that. And it's that little balance in there that just keeps you doing another game, keeps you doing another level, and then you get... That's really kind of a hard thing to balance, but they do it so well in this.
Super, super hard. I noted the exact same in value for money. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have started play. A lot of the younger generation have stopped playing games for fun and have started playing games for progression.
Yes, yeah, right? I can see
if
that,
a game is fun, but there's no progression, then there's no point in playing it because you're not progressing. Yeah, but if a game has progression, but it's the least fun game ever, there are going to be people
You're going to drop off.
Would be playing it.
Yeah, you're going to...
Unfortunately.
Agreed.
I wanted to say something. I completely forgot what it was.
Well, another...
You go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard us talk about stratagems in this game quite a lot. I'd say it's kind of a unique mechanic. I can't say I know it in many other games. You unlock bombardments and special attacks and stuff from the ship that you arrive on. And you've got to... The fun thing about it is that you've got to key in the commands into your wrist gauntlet pad thing. Which, again, adds another layer of stress because it's... For lack of a better term, it's like typing in the cheat code for Grand Theft Auto. You know, it's up, left, right, down. You know, it's that level of code. And when you're being chased around, if you get one of those wrong, it doesn't come. And you could lose the entire mission all down to just the stratagem you bring in. Again, it's just a clever little mechanic to add tension and stuff like that.
I don't know if it's coming across those who haven't played Helldivers to what a stratagem is. Mm. If during your gameplay, when you hold down L1 or a button on PC, I don't know what it is, you get control of a ball and you input a command on this ball. Mm. And this ball basically tells your ship what it needs to shoot down from space onto the ground next to you to help you. Like Dave said, be it a barrage, be it a Gatling sentry gun, or maybe a weapon that was too big to be held with you onto the planet. These stratagems could be the most innovative game. No, it definitely is the most innovative game mechanic Helldivers 2 brings to the table. I'm a big fan of stratagems. I've never seen it in any other game.
Agreed. And they're just a ton of fun. It's another thing where they add tension, they add story and all that. But the biggest plus is that calling down a massive barrage of 120mm bullets to obliterate the swarm coming towards you just has a hell yeah type feeling to it.
It really does.
They reload. You know, they got a cooldown, so you get to do it again and again and again. And
that's the thing. This game doesn't let you feel like you aren't worth using its funnest mechanics.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't say, oh, well, you have to wait until you load the next mission before you get
things back. Need to be level 50.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right.
It's a barrage. No, you can start the game and you've got to... couple of stratagems with the barrage.
Yeah.
You can call down a machine gun. You could just do it.
Yeah, it's and it's those things that keep you going. because then
yes, I don't want to grind for 50 hours to get my third gun, Call of Duty. I don't want to do that. Just let me play the damn games. Sorry, I'm getting...
Yeah, you're getting emotional. But yeah, this is fundamentally the point. The gameplay, fundamentally, it's a shooter. Yes, it's a third-person shooter. It's fun. It's gritty. The shooting is nice. It's kind of realistic. You've got recoil. Yes,
the gunplay is exceptional.
Yeah, it's very, very polished for a game like this. And again, it makes you just want... I always do. This wasn't... I wouldn't call this an indie game. This is, a lot of people have coined it a double A game instead of triple A. But you can
double
still...
Double A, I say, is right.
You can still feel that people cared compared to a lot of triple A games. I'm not going to go into that rant again. Yes. And when you play it, you can see it. Like you said, they didn't rush the shooting. They didn't rush the stratagems. Mm-mm. They didn't rush the mechanics for progression. They didn't rush...
So good.
They took so their good. Time and You're made right. the game they wanted to play. And it comes across in everything.
And Sony let them.
Yes, that's also a good point. Yeah, that's very true. That's also a
lot
good
of
point.
Times Sony isn't the good guy in a lot of stories. In this case, they let Arrowhead make the game they wanted to make, and they funded them, and they published the game. And I'm just, it is a double A game in this case. Yes. It's not the marketing might have been triple A.
Yeah, true.
But no, this is. It's much like A Plague Tale, Innocence and Requiem, where that. It's made by a smaller team.
That was smallish,
But it looks and feels like a triple A
game. No, that's very true.
And then we get our so-called quadruple A games.
Mm-hmm. Which have all just been disappointing recently. If you think about it, they're
eating
all
slime
just kind
off
of
the
bad.
Floor.
Yeah.
It's bad. You said this game was polished.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that. Uh-huh. If I can use this to segue into performance, unfortunately, this game still has some performance issues it needs to sort out.
Okay, go ahead. I think I know what you're going to say, but continue.
Okay, one part I do need to raise is Arrowhead Studios have been suffering from their own success.
Yes.
Right. The servers they put up were unable to hold up to the massive demand.
Which is almost always the same story for anyone that has an online game. It's very rarely that on launch anyone has enough servers. It's really weird, but I can't remember a game where it launched and it didn't have a server issue at the beginning.
Yes.
But you're right, this also had a server issue at the beginning.
The difference between Helldivers 2 and all the other online live service games is the, the player base... falls. It gets lower and lower each week.
Yeah.
Helldivers 2's player base has been rising and is still rising.
Yeah, had the PAL World issue, right? It got so popular that they didn't predict this. I think I read somewhere they had the server space for 500,000 and in the last week they've had to increase it to 800,000, which
something like that.
Fortune.
Although, I don't think PAL World's got... as much staying power as Helldivers.
No, agreed.
I think in a year, PAL World's gonna... It's gonna just be another throwaway game.
I kind of agree. I hope Helldivers isn't like that, though. But you're right.
Same.
The initial server issues, and there are lots of people are having problems with the servers, or even continuously now, even though the game's been released for a little while now. Yeah, it does have server issues, there's no doubt.
Because they had the server issues and needed to prioritize that for a month, they could not fix issues that the game had. Core issues, performance issues, like just bugging out on terrain. Items disappearing, right? Smaller performance issues that might not be blockers or game breakers, but does have an impact on your gameplay.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you want to tell them the one that happened last night, which I found hilarious, but you didn't.
I can't remember. What did happen? Oh, yes! Oh, jeez. That was game-breaking.
That was,
I completely forgot about that.
That was the funniest thing. Like, do you want to tell it or shall I?
Yes, I'll tell it. So, ladies and gents, Dave and I were at the LZ on one of the ice planets fighting the Terminids. When... We were swarmed.
Oh,
we were completely swarmed.
We
put down Gatling guns, machine gun sentries, barrages left and right. We were just keeping them at bay. We were fighting for our lives, waiting for the dropship to come pick us up. And it did. Yep. The countdown timer reached zero and the dropship came.
Yep.
Dave entered the dropship. I was looking around. And no like, dropship.
Nick, come on, come on. It's going to go. Come on.
And I could have, I was running around like a headless chicken. I could not. I mean, I'm at the helipad.
He literally
There's
is.
Nothing. On There's my nothing. Not no on, Dave inside. No helipod.
On my
anywhere.
Screen, I can see the helicopter or whatever you call it. And I can see Nick just running around like a headless chicken. Like, and I'm going, get in the bloody plane.
And that's what happened. The plane glitched out.
Yeah, it really
for me.
Did. It
I
really
could not see it. It was not there. So what happened is Dave and the
I just
pilot
flew away.
Flew away without me.
It was just funny. It was funny to me because he was right next to it. And he but yeah,
true,
it
was
didn't
funny.
Load
but that's
that asset in game for him.
That's a performance issue.
That is. That's right. That's kind of game breaking in that regard because it ruined the whole. We completed our mission objective. We gone home. He was down. It should have had that moment of victory at the end of it, and then it just had a moment of hilarity instead. At least from my perspective. Yes. No, that's a shame.
It is. But so I did score performance a bit low. Now that the server issues are fixed, mm-hmm. though, mm-hmm. I think they are going to get on to fixing some bugs and working on content.
Yes, I believe. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a patch coming out soon. I've heard lots of fun news about a games master chief who's planning things, and they've already got vehicle assets ready to drop in, and now it looks like a lot is coming. A lot is on its way.
Fantastic. I'm happy for it. If we can move over to the value for money.
Okay. What did you
I'd
think?
Say yeah. The value for money is crazy.
Go on.
The amount of game and fun you are getting. The value you are getting for your money is very real.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very much on par. It's so, there are lots of games that are big and bloated and just has tons and tons of nothing.
Yes, very true. Very true.
This game does have a lot, but most of it is valuable. Yep. I keep saying this for a lot of big games. A lot of it isn't valuable, no matter how big it is.
Yeah, no, agreed. I'm with you.
I'd say this is valuable. The gameplay loop you're getting is so massively good. And the fact that you can squad up and share it with your mates is stellar.
See, now, the one thing is, I came into the value for money with some trepidation, right? We've had a lot of games as a service games. Again, I'm going to make the comparison. To get Suicide Squad Early Access, it was $100. And then came to Helldivers. Helldivers, I think, was like $30, $35. I can't remember what it was.
I think it's $40.
And I was trepidatious. I was thinking, geez, what? That's a lot. That's quite a bit of money. It's some money. And what if it's just, you know, it's a flash in the pan? So I was like, okay. Because Palworld was, I think, $20, if not less. That was quite cheap. There's a lot, of course, free games as a service games, but we all know they're inundated with microtransactions and adverts and all sorts of crap. So yeah. I thought the price point, initially, I thought, whoa, that's quite expensive, especially for not a double A game instead of a triple A game. But anyway, I popped there, we got your hand, and I think it's worth it.
Yes.
After playing this for the amount of time we have and playing it for fun and seeing where it's going to go and what it's going to give you, and it's there's going to be a lot of content on its way, which you're not going to be paying any more for.
Oof,
so that $30, $40 is being stretched a long way. And like you said, the gameplay loop on this thing is so addictive and just so...
It really is.
You
it
really,
really is.
Do get your money's worth.
And the fact that you could do this with three of your friends?
Yeah, no
doubt. Come on.
But on the other side, if you're just a single person and you don't like playing with others, I would say it's got no value for you.
True. Right? Or little value.
Yeah, very little.
Yeah, this game isn't... I wouldn't... Yeah, not for you.
Yeah, I hope there's a let me solo her player out there who's just playing on his own and is just taking down maps on his own. That would be really cool. But I just don't think it is because I just think it's not really built that way. But like you said, if you've got one, two, three other friends, I think it's up to four, right? Or can you get more?
Yes, squad mates go up to four.
Let's get this game's a blast. Absolute mayhem of just 100%. Fun.
When you get to the harder difficulties and the enemies start getting bigger, right? You get the Titan bug and the Hulk bruiser.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You accidentally napalm your friend or you accidentally blow up his arm. And no, it's... This game's got so much chaos that's orchestrated and just organized in such a nice, fun way. yeah, you'll be playing for weeks. And people are. Look at all the numbers. They're playing like 500,000 concurrent players at all, like a lot of times.
This reminds me of the success Overwatch had. Was it in 20? I think it's 2017 or 2016. The original, I think 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
When Overwatch released, it was so good, so massively popular that the player counts just rose and did not stop rising.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a graph that slowly but surely went up, like a set of stairs. And that's what I'm thinking Helldivers 2 is achieving.
Yes, right now.
Yeah. Are the only two games I can think of that has done that for a paid game.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you see Palworld. Isn't that a play, a server? Hell, that was still in...
I guess so, but I don't see that continuing for much longer.
No, I agree that Palworld,
it's very much a very bright fizzle.
I agree. As soon as Pokemon releases a new game or something, Palworld is going to start losing their numbers, just because
it's going to have its player base. Yeah, exactly. But it's not going to keep the amount of players it has, not even close.
Like I said, Helldivers success will be all down to what they release in the next month or so to keep the campaign going, to keep it fresh.
A couple of months. Yeah, I don't exactly. Know how long
if they don't add new things, you know, with the gaming industry the way it is, we're going to have 6 new games coming out in the next month or so. Jeez. People are just going to move their attention to keep it fresh. They have to keep something coming forwards. I have a feeling
They've already hit.
Yeah.
This game is already a success.
Yes.
Even if it's not keeping its player base, they've already made their money back and then some. This game is already a success.
Agreed.
There's one other thing I want to raise in the value for money, and it's something we have to raise.
Go for it.
And those are microtransactions.
Yeah.
I'm, of course, like any other gamer, I'm not a big fan of microtransactions. But in this game, I think the balance is right.
Yes, agreed. It's that balance thing again.
Right. There are so many other games where you buy, $30 worth of in-game currency, and with that you can buy a face.
Yeah. Or a shoe or different...
Or a trinket for your gun.
Yeah. I know who you're aiming that at. Yep.
Overwatch 2 is the perfect example. You spend so much money and you get next to nothing.
Really
doesn't matter. I'm not going to say the microtransactions in Helldivers 2 does matter.
It's cosmetic.
Some outfits do have added benefits, some helmets as well, some, but it's the amount that you need to pay, which let's say is $3 of in-game currency would buy you the outfit and the helmet you want.
Yes, true. It's $3. Not super expensive.
Yes, and this game was $40 to begin with.
Agreed.
It's not expensive, and you can actually find the in-game premium currency. What's it called? Super credits?
Yeah, that's what I love. I love that.
That's it, yes.
If you don't have the money, you don't have it, you can just play in the game and you find a vault or a box or something, you can actually pick up super credits, which is the actual like currency. Well, it means you can buy at least a helmet or a gun.
Just by
eventually
exploring.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
By going off the beaten path, you can find super credits.
So it doesn't block you like straight away because you're not paying for it. You need to give us money, you know, like microtransactions, we know. You can slowly develop enough super credits to buy the thing you want. And that's a good balance.
By doing your objectives off the beaten path, by spreading valor and democracy and patriotism, you get more points, meaning more medals, meaning you can spend more on the free battle pass.
Exactly.
I hate the term battle pass.
Yeah.
And you can so easily get premium currency on the battle pass too.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can just buy the premium battle pass.
Yeah,
I hate the word battle pass.
Same. But it is, it's very well balanced. It isn't alienating people who don't have the money to buy those things.
Yes.
But it's also open for people who, if they wish to, it's only $3 or it's only $2 or $5. It's not a lot. They're not trying to just milk you as a fan base.
Granted, I don't think there should be any microtransactions in games.
That's the way the
This is a balance I can stomach.
Yeah, this is one you can deal with. Yeah, agreed. I'm the same.
It's very good. It's very good. But that's all I've got.
Okay, so what on this bad boy, what would we rate it then?
Our scores for Helldivers 2, let's say we got our scores together. We put them on a dreadnought and we went to Malevolent Creek, where the bots are ravaging Space Vietnam. So we put our scores in a hell pod. Excuse me. They hell dove onto Space Vietnam on top of some bots, and they immediately all died because Malevolent Creek is super hard.
Yeah, it is.
That's a hard level. Anyway, they got cloned into the letter grade rating of B, which is too low.
That's my fault because I wasn't happy with the narrative.
I scored the performance low, so this is our doing. But ladies and gents, this is not a B game.
Well, this is it's B for now. Like I said, there's so much B content on its way, so potentially. Right. Which would just raise this on another faction, vehicles, more stratagems. They're bound
fixing
to be
the
all
bugs.
On its way.
Fixing, yes, and fixing the bugs. Then this would easily be
agreed.
Ladies and gents, even if you're listening to this right now, this game has probably already been fixed.
Yes,
it already
it's highly
has.
Possible. Yeah, it's highly possible. I hear some gun designs and stuff have been leaked online. So there's a bunch of new guns coming your way.
Great! So, fantastic content, please. Not that this game needs content.
No,
it would just raise it from a B to an A. This is a good game. This is an excellent game. And I do recommend you buy and play this. It's so good.
Agreed.
It's so
just
good.
Too much fun for you to miss. Like, it really is.
Oh, man. This is a good game. I'm really happy we got to review this one.
I agree. It's funny. Like I said to Nick, I don't know if this game would be as much in the limelight if Suicide Squad wasn't as bad as it is. I think Suicide
Probably
Squad is
not.
Being fixed, or I read that they're trying to fix it, or they acknowledge the faults or something.
Don't bother them. Don't bother them.
Get Helldivers 2. Seriously. I get that Suicide Squad's got all the Marvel characters, and or DC characters, sorry. Helldivers 2 is just so much more. So much.
It really is. This
way,
is worth your money.
Way.
This is going to respect your time. It's going to respect your wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell, it's going to respect your funny bone.
Yeah, and like I said, hopefully Xbox do pick it up. And then there's no blockade in playing with all your mates, depending on what console, PC, or PlayStation. Yeah, it's just the better.
I hope so too.
I hope so.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Critical Arcade Podcast. If you'd be so kind, you could leave us a review, or don't. That's fine too. But you could follow us on our social media channels, on YouTube and Instagram. But you could also catch me on email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com.
And I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
Thank you, Dave. But besides for your email, where else can we follow you?
Well, I am out and about, but as we talked about earlier, I've become quite well known with the Big Berthers. A very large terminid lady who's got this huge, huge green appendix, I think they're called on bugs. Or thorax. No, it's appendix.
Thorax, there we go.
And I happened to know a lot of these lovely ladies, and I will just grab you and I will throw you into their acid sack body part for you to live forever. Ugh. Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah, I think that's acid. I'm not entirely sure. It's green, so it looks acid-y. So, yeah, that's what happened. By all means.
It's most likely acidic.
Yeah, I think so. Or it's just like...
That's bad.
Or it's ultraviolet.
No, don't follow Dave. Yeah. Don't follow the Big Bertha's thoraxes. You could rather follow us on Patreon for exclusive content like Critical Cinema and our post-show, which you should check out because it's funny. We're funny.
Occasionally.
Dave... Oh, you joke. You kidder,
I know,
Dave.
I'm so funny. See?
How about you tell us, what have we got lined up for next week?
It's a classic in the darkness scary genre. Which...
The Descent genre?
Yeah, the Descent into Darkness genre, because that's a genre.
You know, the
me.
Genre where you've got amnesia genre?
Yeah, that's the... See, I told you, it's a genre. You know it. See, it's a genre of game. The Darkest Descent of Amnesia genre. Well, yes, the next game we'll be looking into is Amnesia, The Dark Descent. Not a good... isn't a good time for me, by all accounts.
I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty fun.
Well, yeah, you like those games. It's a game where you don't have a weapon and you can't fight anything, so it's just designed to be just to lose your mind and go
insane. You've got two things. You've got a lantern and you've got amnesia.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my best spells. Now, yeah.
Name a better demon. But I know We've said this game was next week.
Yes.
This is probably the third time we've said Amnesia's next week.
It's possible.
This time it is.
But that was Helldivers' fault. They came out of nowhere and we had to play it. Like this.
Damn you, Helldivers. Yeah, right. And Helldivers, thank you very much. I love you.
This one will be fun. It's going to, well, fun for some, fun not fun for me. But I do know it's a classic and I look forward to delving into it and finding out why.
Yes, going to be a nice entry into our Indie 500 series.
It is.
So we'll see you then for some Amnesia and some Dark Descending.
Yes, we will.
See you then. Cheers. Cheers. A big thank you to Sony and Gamefinity for providing the review code for this title.